reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If anyone who wants to save his life will lose it. Anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. What then will a man gain if he wins the whole world and loses his life? What is a man to offer in exchange for his life? The Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels. When he does, he will reward each one according to his behavior. Tell you solemnly, there are some of those standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming with his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord. Back in the 60s and 70s, some theologians said that they couldn't accept the idea of redemption through a single life, through Christ, one man. The idea of Christ as the only doorway into eternal happiness, into salvation, because he's one man. You could reply to that that we seek unity in life, and there can only really be one king, one doorway. If we're told to pass through one of more than two doorways, we might suspect that one doorway is not the right doorway, and really it's about choice. I also think the evangelicals are right to say that this Christ is the Saviour, the Redeemer, the one who saves. There is only Christ to save us. Whether wrong is to insist that this faith in Christ has to be explicit, so explicit too that they narrow it down to a supposed experience of salvation in some cases, which is apparently identifiable and the only way through to heaven. The reason I think that is actually because of this gospel. He says, anyone who wants to save his life will lose it, but anyone who loses his life for my sake or because of me will find it. Now, that would seem to suggest that you have to lose your life for Christ, and that's true. But if you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, it's interesting how the last of the Beatitudes is then expanded slightly and changed. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of justice. Then he says, blessed are you who are pursued and persecuted because of me. It's an interesting parallelism there, because of justice or because of me. Or be more accurate, blessed are you when they pursue you or insult you and say all evils against you because of me. Immediately after the Sermon on the Mount, which self speaks in very general terms, it talks about peacemakers, people who are merciful, pure in heart, pure in spirit, gentle, hunger and thirst for justice. And then in the expansion he says, because of me. And elsewhere in the Gospel of Matthew we're told that those who give a cup of water will not lose their reward. I think the point is that the reality is Christ, but for many people who will come to heaven, what they see first is the need to be moral and truthful, most of all to fight and to suffer for justice, never to compromise about justice. They need to be pure, they need to let go of things. And as such, Christ is at the heart of every good endeavour, every attempt to be good. At some point, if people are aware of Christ, we'd have to ask why they turn away from him, why they try to be good on their own, when they know that there's at least a possibility of redemption through Christ. But that's down to their conscious understanding. Sometimes the discovery that we cannot bring ourselves to goodness by willpower is what brings us to Christ. Failure brings us to Christ to share in his victory, which is his victory. We merely receive it. Anyone who wants to save his life will lose it, is true, whether it is Christ or not. Anyone who loses his life will find it is only true because it is Christ, because of redemption. Anyone who loses his life is for my sake. And just as there's a parallelism of those who are persecuted for justice and those who are persecuted for his sake, for me, as he says to the people who hear the Sermon on the Mount, the same way every good act leads to Christ. What will a man gain who wishes the whole world and ruins his life? At the end, the Son of Man comes and he judges. You notice it says, according to his behaviour, not according to his faith. According to what he stands for. That true is a sign that natural virtue is value. They say we delude ourselves about what we really are, about our power, about how we are to live. But most of all, we delude ourselves about justice itself. See justice when it affects us, but not when we affect others. We want justice, but don't wish to share it. All that's true. It's still true that every good act contains Christ at the centre. Everything that's done well is for his sake. Immediately after this passage, Christ takes Peter, James and John up the mountain of the Transfiguration. He's transfigured and he's seen in the presence of Moses and Elijah. They represent both revelation and the law. But also, the Father says, "This is my Son, listen to him." But you notice how Christ doesn't even take all the apostles up the mountain. He keeps it just Peter, James and John. That narrows the sign that full Christian faith will always be for a few. A great gift to be cherished, and a great responsibility. But very clearly, not everyone will believe in Christ. But we can hope that many will find Christ, at least at the end of their lives, or at the end of time, when the Son of Man comes, and they too will enter into glory of his kingdom.